Well, I ask, thank you very much for your introduction, in advance of the invitation. I'm very grateful for that. And I thank the Long Barry for his hospitality this evening. I thought I might begin where it all began. So we all, you of the younger generation, might be interested, your own children, how people start writing poems. So I thought I would begin with my school English teacher, when I began to study English literature, English poetry, and it was in a place called Tipperary. Although I don't come from Tipperary, I was a school there, and my whole life really began there, with this school teacher. He was out of the three Bob notes, but we had a grandfather himself, and he revealed literature to me, and the translation of literature. It was rather unusual in those faraway days. The first day you swing into our classroom for English literature lesson, we do not know you from our years before. Senior teacher status kept your person at that remove. As of today, we are yours, till our remove grants us senior status as grown-ups in life's university. From now on, life is what you make out of us. We boys rise with respect when you enter on your stroll to our room's bathroom. You hold two tomes against your chest, your coat of arms. My pair lie on my desk, brand new, unread. When we sit down, your scan punctuates us. You lift one volume in each hand, declare, poetry, prose. Today we read a poem. I have seen no teacher like you before. You stand 6 straight feet tall and lean. Your head's poise makes you a reversed exclamation mark to that word, poem. Then you Euclid arms, hands, fingers, to inscribe the words sound on blank blackboard as 4 sacred letters, P-O-E-M. You tell your script, poets live responsible to we readers for every word they write. If they do not, they are not forgivable. Book in left hand, you read aloud with calm. Right hand conducts the rhythm as in music. What does the poet say to us, you ask? Then have us read aloud to your tick-tock. When we work out, write down the poet's theme. You point out his technique, that you call form. Words paint pictures, vowels and consonants, rhymes and pauses, music each line's rhythm. Bell. You wipe your soul's word points off the blackboard's face. Find out all you can on that poet's life. Sing your last line as you jaunt your exit. Your presence dawns my future mode of life. Libraries become Aladdin's cave of lies. Poets, artists, great musicians, how they lived. My state of mind now warns me, create each day with no complications. When next we face the same poem, you face our blank blackboard. Scribe your next proper noun. Poet. You ask, what is that phenomenon? We think, outside school, no one like that is known. And say, we study their poems for exams. We only know about famous sportsmen. You not. You say, play your sports well to win the game. Poets play life's game and score with their poems. Once we can write on a poem's theme, technique, your comments focus on what you deem rare. My awareness grabs some, touches others, as your eccentric language starts to read real. You mention writers, artists, composers we should be aware of outside our course, then off the cuff, when they're not important, or not so important, and spell out their curious names for us. Down from tuneless rafters to blind walls, you inscape creation's terms, cubist insults. What I hear, see, won't unfast the same again, as I travel free gratis on bookshelves. Now, as insects cubist my agonbite of inwit, poems insect Euclidic forms in shelves my wholeness shows, or fade for me to insect art constructs with words. My ego steals from all life's lies, thoughts of their worlds reflect sometimes in my own. When we do that, no one poem's poet will fade out in our classroom forgotten. You get life from teaching, I mine from that. We're both content with what we think, contrive. Your master's psyche vocations my poet, helps create my life and my afterlife. I hope that cloud you now read on up there encourages applause for what your one public schoolboy has put on shelves round here. When I join you, we'll talk forever on countries where my teaching housed me. Poets admired by you, whom I've since met, have known how art gets made from life's experience, and when we make it well, it lives on. Does that start? And then, of course, we slowly do it. Thank you. I mean, you know how teaching affects your life at teenage time, you know?
Yeah.
When some people become priests, when some people become businessmen, when some people become politicians, as many of my friends did, and one in fact minister of the foreign affairs, Moon, and one become, some become wandering cats. Well, anyway, where do we go from here? Especially the books on my way. Well, all these books that I'm reading from are in the Bandit bookshop, or the King Said bookshop. So it's in paperback edition. So that's vocation. And my vocation comes after that, yeah. He inspired me, that's the school teacher. And as I say, different school teachers inspire different forms of us, different of us, in different ways. And some of us went one way, some went the other, and so on. So this is a poem called Vocation. Vocation varies. Where we tend to service, how we take and give our own example, the oxygen, the orient, or both. Whether or not to cut our personal cloth. Initiation grants us place among light spirals. We each chant our song as we keep faith, may mature to him. Some stay in choir, the rest change voice, and go dumb. As postures, we have time to meditate upon our choice of life, and to collate what was left, what taken. Both types evaluated, we may decide to stay, or change our mind. With ordination, that is to any tradition, you know, medicine or otherwise. With ordination, we apply what's learned from the content and consecrate what's miracle. Some may scripture what inspires vocation, the sacrament. Some may scripture what inspires vocation, to sacrament its value and its duration. How you hang in there? How you hang your own children, in fact? Or have patience with your children? They belong to friends and friendship. So friends, you know, when you're in school, you get out of being your teenage self. Friends, yeah. After yesterday's long sailing, landfall, hours talk over dinner, last night's deep sleep, we walk my island. This stony road by the sea's edge we've covered before, for a few fish baked in the open on a clay pot at the road's end. Where two roads join, we plunge into the flesh refreshing waves. Free laughter. You are married now. Dry, dressed, talk of our breadwinning world, brackish waterhall in memory. Later, with friends over fish soup, the floating fish head reminds me of past working winters. We swap yarns. There's a bond in friendship. Quarrels, no question. Asks, no answer.
Change the Greek for a moment.
We're about halfway into it. About halfway into
it. Okay, thank you. Well, okay, I'll jump to the Greek, to a better Greek one then. Well, probably more. Then, of course, as children growing up and as adolescents, we were always hearing about these Americans and America and so on. And in their context, as we heard about the English and the British, in their context, of course. And then as we grew into our early teens, you know, 10, that was the first year, we heard about the Americans are coming to Europe now after the war and all that. Well, this is a translation from a great Greek poet called Constantine Tavassi, C.P. Tavassi, who lived in Alexandria in Egypt with a big Egyptian, I mean a big Greek population in Egypt in those days, especially in Alexandria. And what Alexandria, you know, Stamberia is a Greek word anyway. And at this point, by him, he died in 1933, so to give you an idea of his modern Greek poetry. He modernized Greek poetry for the following generation. So we were here, we're expecting the Americans after the war. So this is called Expecting the Barbarian. The word barbarian is a Greek word, barbaros, as you know. That's the translation of it. So we're all sitting there anyway. And when the question comes up, we're all sitting there in the square having a drink. Why are we all waiting here in the square? The barbarians arrived today. Why is nothing happening in the Senate? How is it the senators sit but make no laws? Because the barbarians come today. What's the sense of the senators making laws now? When the barbarians get here, they will make the laws. Why did the emperor come out, the emperor, come out so early? Why is he on his throne at the main gate wearing his crown? Because the barbarians show up today, and the emperor is waiting to welcome their leader. He's all prepared to present an official scroll full of titles, important names. Why have our consuls and traitors appeared in their scarlet embroidered togas? Why their bracelets studded with amethyst, rings, and splendidly sparkling emeralds? Why do they sport graceful canes, finely worked in silver and gold? Because barbarians get here today, and bamboozle like that impresses barbarians. Where are our public speakers to make their usual speeches? The barbarians come today, and baloney bores barbarians. Why this restlessness now, this confusion? People's faces have turned so serious. Why is the square emptying? Why is everyone going home so upset? It is night, and the barbarians haven't shown up. Some boring men just didn't say, there are no barbarians anymore. So now, without barbarians, what will become of us? Those barbarians were a sort of solution.
Yeah.
5 minutes. I'll read one. I was going to read one about love and marriage and so on, beauty and so on. So, I was going to read some marriage, but. Marriage?
Yeah.
Sorry, I can't read any more of the translation. I'll go read the Arabic translation then. Okay, marriage. From the day. Okay. 5 minutes, 2.5 minutes, please.
Marriage. On their own day, in the fullness of their seasons, they married, were hallowed in one, purified in all that the world gives light to, without wrinkle, without disfigurement. No longer two, one flesh in high mystery, woman's body and man's flesh made singular substance. What has been so joined cannot stand sundered. This primal fellowship fears no forfeiture in punishment of any form under any flood destruction. May the wife grow fruitful as a vine, our children study as olives. May they witness their children's generation, and may their aged hold all they desire in peace. Thank you.